Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education for Monday, April 17th. As you can see, we have a full room of testifiers who are eager to talk to us about Senate Bill 5524, the Higher Education Coordinating Committee budget bill, so I'm going to open that hearing as well. We have, so far, we're working on our fourth sheet of testifiers. So you can see on the wall we have the handy countdown clock, and believe me, it will not feel like 2 minutes, but I assure you that that we turn them on for everybody, and they all run at the same speed. So I'm going to start with the first sheet of folks who have called. I'm going to start with the first three people, and then I will have some folks on deck every time in hopes of moving things on a little quickly. We're going to ask you to each speak for about 2 minutes and finish when the timer goes off. And then once we get through the first sheet, we do, I know, have some folks who have come from more than 100 miles, and we will make sure to get those people there. But we do have a solid hour and 15 minutes, and at 2 minutes a pop, hopefully everyone will have the opportunity to speak to all of us here. So with that, I'm going to start with Helly Rudden Clow, Pat Malone, and Jerome either Posa or Rosa. And then on deck will be Diane McKeel, Reed Wagner, and Kevin Malmstrom. And just please, everybody, remember to is there a third chair there? Good. To just start your testimony by introducing yourself. And you can start with whoever wins the thumb wrestling.
Co-chair Senator Monroe, Representative Smith Warner, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Helly Rudden Clow. I'm a farmer from Amity. I'm here today to urge support for Senate Bill 805 and, in general, the statewide within the revenue of the bills here. 2 years ago, I sat before this legislature to describe how slugs were destroying our fields. We practice a type of farming called no-till, which is widely recognized as an environmentally friendly way to farm. As you can see in the pictures, which hopefully you have, we don't plow the soil between different crops. This method also creates a perfect habitat for slugs, and so we have a problem with them. They multiply and eat our crops. The legislative funding increase 2 years ago enabled OSU to hire a slug expert, and we have great hope in what he's working on to provide environmentally sustainable ways for us to combat these slugs. The other thing I wanted to highlight is OSU's ongoing effort to provide farmers with up-to-date scientific information regarding fertilizer applications. If you get it, I have a 2 pages of one of the fertilizer guides to show an example. This one is Tall Fescue, and it's actually 42 pages long. And it provides us with scientific information of how much and when and how to apply fertilizer. And without that, we rely on just the recommendation from the fertilizer salesman. But with this information, we can do it in a way that protects Oregon's waterways. The research coming out of OSU shows us how to be profitable and sustainable at the same time. I urge you to recover the investment you made in the last biennium and fund the statewide at their continuing service level with an additional $9.4 million. Without this funding, programs will be cut and researchers will be terminated. As a farmer, I need access to science-based, non-biased information that the statewide provide. Please protect Oregon's environmental future by investing in the statewide. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll work on our volume, I think, for the.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, co-chairs, Senator Monroe and Representative Smith Warner. I'm Pat Malone, and my wife and I own and operate Sunrise Tree Farm in the Kings Valley area of Benton County. When we were starting out in the Christmas tree business over 30 years ago, we had enthusiasm and lofty goals about taking good care of the land. Several OSU extension agents helped put our goals into practice, giving us sound, objective advice that helped us avoid mistakes and become successful tree farmers. Extension has been dealing with generally flat to declining revenue for a number of years. Extension agents have taken on larger geographic areas. Administration has gone from the county level to a more regional structure, creation of master gardeners and master woodland managers, was another way to make paid staff effort go further by turning growers into teachers. In addition to these increased organizational efficiencies, Benton County is voting this May on establishing an extension service district to help stabilize funding. If the measure passes, Benton County will be the 26th county in Oregon to have an extension service district. I just turned in our taxes for 2016. We made money last year, got to pay taxes, and the extension folks have get some credit for our success. I think that shows supporting extension is a good investment of taxpayer dollars. It has both economic and environmental benefits. And thank you, Senator Roblin, for your continued support for extension and co-sponsoring Senate Bill 805 that supports extension, the Ag Experiment Station, and the All Forest Resource Lab. Please, thank you.
We're working on it.
We're working on the time so that poor Doug doesn't have to keep saying time every time. So go ahead, Mr. Rose.
Good morning, co-chairs Monroe, Smith, Warner, members of the committee. I'm Jerome Rosa, executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. The Oregon Cattlemen's Association is the voice of the cattle industry in Oregon. We represent over 2,000 ranchers in Oregon and aim to grow Oregon's beef industry to promote environmentally and socially sound economic practices in producing beef products worldwide. We work closely with Oregon State University's statewide extension services on a variety of issues and use them as a resource for increasing efficiency of our operations to implement the best environmental practices and newest science on our ranches. The statewide are part of the heartbeat of our communities, connecting ranching and animal husbandry to our cities, counties, and across the state. The staff of the extension services is keenly aware of ranchers' work on the ground. Services provided are multifaceted. Farmers receive information on noxious weeds affecting rangelands 300 miles away or water shortages just across the county. A few examples of recent contributions to our ranchers from statewide's animal and rangeland science programs include getting more out of our land and cattle by understanding feed sources, the benefits of different plant species, and strategies for moving or dispersing cattle to optimize feed sources and soil health. Analyzing various traits of cattle and breeding opportunities to improve herd health and bolster production. Collaborating with industry and not-for-profits to rebuild sage-grouse habitat and eliminate non-native plants like juniper and cheatgrass. OSU field stations throughout Oregon are industry leaders and imperative to the ongoing future of our beef and cattle industry and these type of projects and research. We ask that the committee restore the $9.4 million above the governor's revised budget specifically to support the Oregon State University statewide extension service programs. Thank you.
Thank you all. Okay, so next up we have Diane McKeel, Reed Wagner, and Kevin Malmstrom. And on deck we'll have Hannah Cruz, Nancy Bales, and Krista McIntosh. And I'd just like to recognize former Multnomah County Commissioner Diane McKeel. Diane McKeel, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Diane McKeel. And as a former Multnomah County Commissioner, I would like to tell you about a positive experience that my community had working with Oregon Solutions and to express my support for Oregon Solutions and its partner program, Oregon Consensus. As a governor-appointed co-convener of the historic Columbia River Highway Collaborative, along with Oregon State Representative Mark Johnson, we helped local representatives, state and federal partners engage with Oregon Solutions to develop and implement measures to improve safety and reduce congestion on the historic Columbia River Highway. Our timeline was short, so we needed to keep the scope small and focused. We convened in early December 2015 and were to complete our efforts by summer 2016. These would be issues that impact safety and the visitor experience around the Multnomah Falls area. The project concluded with commitments to implement identified measures. Shuttle service was implemented by ODOT between the Gateway Transit Center, Rooster Rock State Park, and Multnomah Falls. Enhanced safety measures for motorists and pedestrians were addressed particularly at Multnomah Falls. Every stakeholder at the table had an important role in these decisions. These short-term successes established a foundation for the ongoing work to proceed with additional improvements. ODOT recently announced that the shuttle was a huge success and will be up again at running this year with hopes to expand to Hood River in 2018. Thank you to Michael Mills, our project manager, and his team from Oregon Solutions, and to all the stakeholders. It's my firm belief that Oregon Solutions has been extremely effective in addressing the needs of our community and developing tools that can benefit all Oregonians throughout the state. I appreciate that the legislature recognized the significance of this program and hope you will continue to be supportive. Thank you.
Hello, Co-Chairs Monroe and Smith Warner, members of the committee. My name is Reed Wagner. I'm the executive director of the Multnomah County Drainage District. We manage the levee system surrounding the North Portland area, including the Portland International Airport, 40,000 jobs, as well as residential communities along the Columbia River. About 4 years ago, we were faced with a new challenge. New federal regulations created a huge barrier when it came to continued funding for FEMA and the programs that support the businesses and residents behind the levee. We didn't have the authority to move forward and or the financial capability to meet the accreditation standards. And there was no jurisdiction that had that authority. So we reached out to Oregon Solutions and worked with their professional staff. A collaboration of 20 organizations was developed, and we're now on a pathway to meet those regulatory standards and ensure the safety of those properties behind the levee system, ensuring that $67 million of tax revenues will continue to flow. It's extremely important to our region, but it's also extremely important to other regions around the state. With the learnings that we've gone through, we've been able to share with Reedsport, Warrenton, Pendleton, other folks around the state have gained positive experiences from this. Without Oregon Solutions becoming involved in this, I wouldn't be able to tell you today we're on the same path. We would still be facing those barriers. So very much appreciate the program. I appreciate the legislature's support of it in the past, and I encourage it going forward.
Thank you. Co-chairs Monroe and Smith Warner and members of the committee, good morning. My name is Kevin Malmstrom. I'm here today as a student at Oregon Tech and the president of the Associated Students of Oregon Tech's Wilsonville campus. Oregon Tech is unique. We are the only polytechnic in the Pacific Northwest and one of only three universities in the country that offers a master's program in renewable energy engineering. Given the development of the Silicon Force as a leading center of economic development, Oregon Tech is uniquely positioned to fuel the economic growth of the state for generations. I've come today to ask you to ensure that Oregon Tech can continue to train the next generation of Oregon engineers. As the ASOITW president, I'm on the committee responsible for setting tuition. We're currently attempting to ensure that our tuition increase will be less than 10% for base tuition. This will help ensure that our students are able to keep their student debts at a manageable level. This will only be possible with your help. To make this happen, we need the state to invest $100 million more than the governor's budget has requested for higher ed. In my own case, without this investment, Oregon Tech will be forced to raise tuition in the double-digit range, likely cut student services, and cut the number of scholarships available. In my own case, I'm currently completing my last term at Oregon Tech as a post-bac studying electrical engineering. Unfortunately, my previous bachelor's degree disqualifies me from almost all government financial assistance other than student loans. Every term since returning to college, I have taken the maximum amount available. Even so, after paying for tuition and books, I have basically nothing left over to cover essentials such as food and housing. I'm actually lucky in that family assistance has helped cover that difference. Most students in my case are not that fortunate. This is the situation students face at the current levels. The tuition increases we are now considering would make it impossible for many students to be able to return to college. I realize that this budget cycle demands difficult choices. However, by making the smart investments in Oregon universities now, we have the chance to ensure the long-term prosperity of both the state and the entire generation of Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for testifying. Next up, please, Hannah Cruz, Nancy Bales, and Krista McIntosh. And on deck, we'll have Jason Sullins, Mike Johnson, and Tammy Denny. There's the magic beep.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, and you can start at whatever side you care to.
I'll start. Good morning, Co-Chair Smith-Warner and Co-Chair Monroe and members of the subcommittee. Thank you for your time today. I am Nancy Bales, Executive Director at the Gray Family Foundation. We're a supporting organization of the Oregon Community Foundation, and I'm here today to advocate for Oregon's outdoor school program. The Gray Family Foundation is committed to creating an equitable, inclusive, and sustainable Oregon, and we know that providing our children hands-on educational experiences like outdoor school enables them to better understand their connections to the natural world, and it teaches them to think critically about that world. Gray Family Foundation has provided support to outdoor school programs for years, but we always knew that philanthropy alone was never going to be able to do more than fill gaps. With the passage of Measure 99 in November 2016, we set to work supporting the efforts of Oregon State University's Extension Service Program to implement outdoor school for every Oregon fifth or sixth grader. I'm proud to report that based on the hard work of those at OSU and others, assuming that funding, adequate funding is provided to OSU Extension, they will be ready to implement outdoor school in the fall for every child who chooses in every school that chooses to participate. I know that as a bona fide state program, we not only get to enjoy the benefits, but we also need to accept responsibilities of that. And in the present budget situation, I understand that part of that responsibility likely entails sharing funding cuts. I'm humbled by the task before you to build this really difficult budget. While we understand the reality of this present budget, I would ask that you ensure program funding throughout the biennium. Scaling funding is a dilemma that we can address. Delaying funding until 2018 creates risk to this statewide program and could mean many of those fifth or sixth graders would miss out on outdoor school. It would be extremely challenging and highly unlikely that schools, teachers, parents, and even philanthropy would be able to react quickly enough in raising funds to ensure that programs could run without disruption. This would be particularly heartfelt in schools like Krista's and in her program. Based on Gray Family Foundation's experience, thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Smith-Warner and Co-Chair Monroe and members of the subcommittee. My name is Krista McIntosh. I am a fifth grade teacher here in Salem. I work at Yoshikai Elementary, and I'm here to advocate for my students about the importance of outdoor school for our children and our community. Yoshikai Elementary is a Title I school, and we receive 100% free and reduced lunch. A number of my students live in apartments. Some of their parents work multiple jobs or late hours. Some don't have cars and rely on public transportation, which means these are not the kids visiting the beaches or the mountains here in Oregon. We do everything we possibly can at our school to get 90 fifth graders a year to outdoor school, which means paying for a student out of my own pocket to go if I have to. I'm not afraid to ask family members or friends for funds if I need to, because we don't leave anybody behind. Outdoor school allows students to connect to hands-on science by doing the science and not just by reading about it. While outdoor school, with the help of some agencies, we're able to test water quality, look at native and invasive species, go in the pond and look at insects and classify them, learn about the importance of salmon to Oregon, and get to dissect a small salmon. Hopefully, what we are really teaching them, though, is that curiosity, observation skills, critical thinking, and sense of personal responsibility toward Oregon. Some of my students have never been to the beach, put their toes in a cold river, or sat awestruck at the base of a waterfall. Last year at outdoor school, I taught a group of kids how to skip rocks at a river because they'd never done it. I watched one of my students who struggled academically come to life. Imagine seeing your child lying in the grass looking at insects with a hand lens and joyfully shouting, "This is my thing. I think I found my thing. I want to study bugs." I personally know the importance of outdoor school. Thank you.
Good morning. For the record, I am Hannah Cruz with Energy Trust of Oregon. Energy Trust is a nonprofit organization serving the utility customers of Portland General Electric, Pacific Power, Northwest Natural, Cascade Natural Gas, and Avista. We support those customers with cash incentives and information to help them save energy and generate renewable energy. Pursuant to our grant agreement with the Oregon Public Utility Commission, Energy Trust does not lobby, nor do we support or oppose legislation. That said, we would like to provide you with our experience in working with nearly all of the institutions in the Oregon University system, supporting each school's efforts to save and generate clean energy, as well as to educate the next generation of energy professionals. For today's purposes, I'd like to offer context regarding one of the institutional requests before you, which is Oregon Tech's request for funding for the Renewable Energy Center. Energy Trust is a longtime supporter of Oregon Tech and the Klamath Falls, where the center is located. In April of 2014, the campus completed its two-phase geothermal energy project system, harnessing the geothermal resources underneath the campus to power a combined heat and power system and generate 2 megawatts of renewable energy for the campus. We were pleased to have worked with the campus and our utility partner, Pacific Power, in providing incentives and assistance for the construction and installation of that system. Combined with energy-efficient student housing, we were able to support the campus and moving toward its goal of becoming the first in the U.S. to be powered by renewable energy. But our appreciation of Oregon Tech is further informed by our firsthand experience with our students and graduates. To date, we have hired about 13 Oregon Tech graduates and interns. In that time, we have found them not only to be prepared with deep in-class experience regarding energy technologies, but more importantly, they show up having applied research experience with industry partners. Today's energy sector is multifaceted and dynamic, where traditional fuels like coal and natural gas interact with renewables, efficiency, and storage. Having skilled and trained graduates available in the marketplace keeps Oregon a national clean energy leader.
Thank you. And if you could hang on for a second, Senator Roblin has.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. If you haven't been to Newport's new Camp Gray that OMSI has put in place, you're missing out on an opportunity to see really how well-designed a particular place for kids coming to visit the coast can be done. And OMSI's did a great job, and I just wanted to comment because we heard people here from the group, and there was a lot of other local and other people around the state that helped make that the success. Since it's opened, I don't think it's had a vacancy, so it's pretty remarkable. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And thank you, all three of you, for your testimony. Okay, next we're going to have Jason Sullins, Mike Johnson, and Tammy Denny. And then on deck, please, Ben Ordonez, Jeff Bissonette, and Tammy Kerr or Care.
Good morning. My name is Jason Sullins. I'm a third-generation native Oregonian and a graduate of Oregon Tech. From my youth, I understood the value of an education, but growing up in a low-income household below the poverty level, the idea of going to college seemed beyond my grasp. When I was 15 years old, I spent my first summer in Alaska living in a remote Eskimo village where I worked 80-hour work weeks. I sent every dollar I earned home for my college savings. Driven by determination, I returned to Alaska 2 more summers where I worked in a primitive wilderness sports fishing camp. The hours there were even longer and the conditions were more hazardous, but the money earned brought me another step closer to my dream. I studied and saved as much as I could, working full-time through most of high school while still maintaining a 4.0 GPA. Now looking back on my efforts to put myself through college, it is difficult to believe how hard I had to work. But it was well worth it to earn the degree that has changed my life in so many ways. I know that I tried my hardest every step of the way, but if it had not been for the state funding that the university was receiving, all the studying, long hours of work, and academic potential I had demonstrated may have been for nothing. My dream of earning a college degree may not have been realized, and all my degree has enabled me to contribute to my family, the state of Oregon, and to the high-tech industry may have been lost along with it. In 1998, I received my electronics engineering degree from Oregon Tech. The competitive advantage of the practical training I received there enabled me to secure an engineering level job with Maxim Integrated. I have now been with the company for 19 years and been able to successfully adapt to 3 different engineering roles. I have seen some difficult times and witnessed my share of layoffs, but the skills and the character I developed at Oregon Tech gave me the strong foundation to weather these storms. Having also been involved in the recruiting process, I have witnessed the difficulty many Oregon companies have in finding qualified candidates.
Good morning. I'm Mike Johnson. I'm the Director of Student Financial Aid and Scholarships at Portland State University. I'm here to add my voice to those who are asking that the legislature allocate an additional $100 million to the Public University Sport Fund. Portland State has about 28,000 students, about 18,000 receive financial aid, and more than 40% of our undergraduates receive federal Pell Grants. Those students need an additional $20,000 or so each year to cover their educational costs. Instead of focusing on Portland State, though, I'd like to provide a broader perspective. Higher education is a public good. People who participate in higher education tend to make healthier life choices, vote in greater numbers, and engage more actively in the economy. In 1946, that idea led President Truman to create the President's Commission for Higher Education. He charged it with evaluating the state of higher education in the U.S. and recommending improvements. The resulting report, entitled Higher Education for American Democracy, recommended a greatly expanded federal role in ensuring college access for all citizens who could benefit, and it placed special emphasis on funding the lowest income students. It took almost 20 years for that recommendation to find expression in the Higher Education Act of 1965, which established grant, work, and loan programs for the neediest college students and ushered in a golden age of federal grant funding for low-income students. Starting in the 1980s, though, funding priorities began to shift. Financial aid eligibility was extended to students from higher-income families, the buying power of federal grants didn't keep pace with rising costs, and loans became a larger part of students' financial aid packages. Over much of that period, state funding for higher education declined in many parts of the country. Those trends resulted in increasing debt among college students from all income levels. Today, loans make up more than 60% of federal student aid funding, while grants account for about 15%. The average undergraduate has borrowed about $30,000 on the way to earning a bachelor's degree. Against this backdrop is the likelihood that over the next 4 years, funding for college students will not be a federal priority. President Trump's recent budget proposal would reduce the federal Pell Grant program by $3.9 billion and eliminate the federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grant program. There has never been a better time to increase funding for Oregon students. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Good morning, co-chairs. Senator Monroe, Representative Smith Warner. My name is Tammy Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association, headquartered here in Salem, and a proud alumni of Oregon State University. We represent the 228 Oregon dairy farms across the state. In 2015, milk was the number four commodity with an economic value of more than $474 million before processing. The Oregon Dairy Farmers Association and producers across the state depend heavily on the Oregon State University Extension staff. Today's dairy farmers are facing unprecedented public scrutiny and an assault from environmental and anti-livestock organizations. The best defense available is the science, and the OSU team continually focuses on the information that informs our best management practices concerning air, water, nutrient management, and herd health. These dedicated specialists work hard to educate our producers throughout the state. In the 2015 legislative session, OSU received a $14 million increase for their programs. The resulting funding enabled OSU to hire some 40 new research and extension positions to address significant challenges facing Oregon family farmers, low-income families, and Oregon's natural resources businesses. One of the positions filled was the Willamette Valley Dairy Specialist, whose office is located here in Salem with the Marion County Extension. This position has been vacant for nearly 15 years. Producers throughout the Willamette Valley are engaging this new specialist, and she's currently working on researching cow comfort and other projects that will help our producers. Previously, we've had just one dairy specialist for the entire state of Oregon. The governor's recommended budget will have the effect of eliminating nearly 70% of the increases the legislature approved last session. Because most of these funds are used to cover personnel costs, the primary tool the statewides have to manage their cost is budget reductions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. So next I have...
You can take me off.
Ben, I was going to say Ben Ordonez, Jeff Bissonette, and then is Tammy Denny here as well?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, great. I'll just take just Ben and Jeff then, please. And then next we'll be moving on to a number of our Eastern Oregon students and the other folks who are 100 miles or more away.
Thank you, Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Warner, and honorable members of the committee. My name is Ben Ordonez. I live in Eugene, Oregon, and I'm here today as a proud University of Oregon alumnus. I attended U of O both as an undergrad and for graduate school, and currently I work as a development officer at a family service nonprofit called Direction Service. We provide service and care to children with disabilities and their families throughout Lane County. I had the fortune of working both in Washington, D.C. and Eugene, Oregon, and I credit my studies at the University of Oregon in very large part for the success I've had in my professional life. Still, like many students, I carry with me the burden and the weight of significant student loans. These loans have a very real impact on my ability to put away savings and invest towards my own financial future. I'm here today to ask that the legislature prioritize at least $100 million in increased investment towards the Public University Support Fund. Without this critical support, tuition will spike upwards for students, placing college degrees out of the reach of many deserving Oregonians. At the U of O alone, undergrad tuition is scheduled to increase by 10.6%. If fully funded, tuition will still increase, but only by 5.1%. This means still shared pain coming out of this difficult budget environment. However, it's manageable and means more dollars in the pockets of students that will help cover rent, food, books, and other life staples, of course, tuition as well. Increased investment would provide relief students taking on mountains of debt that will hobble future for personal finances and their ability to contribute to a growing economy. And let me tell you, I've been one of those students. So respectfully, I urge you and your colleagues to please, please consider us and invest $100 million in higher education in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, for the record, Jeff Bissonnette, representing the Solar Energy Industries Association. We are the solar trade group in Oregon, representing about 90 solar businesses, manufacturers, installers, developers, and other parts of the solar supply chain. And you'll probably see some folks wandering around today with "I support Oregon solar" stickers on. And so we have several members of the industry and general solar supporters in the building today talking about a variety of things. I wanted to come before you today. I do have a letter that's on OLIS about the Oregon Renewable Energy Center that is part of the Oregon Institute of Technology. It is the only research center that is not a state line item budget, and we'd like to ask for your consideration to change that. Renewable energy overall, and solar energy in particular, are an increasingly important part of Oregon's energy mix, and the innovation and technical skills that OIT provides in general, and that we think that OREC can provide in specifically, are going to be increasingly important to the solar industry. We currently have OIT graduates and others that are starting their own businesses, and we recently released the Oregon Solar Plan and project an increase in the solar workforce from the current 4,000 to 4,500 to at least 8,000 solar workers over the course of the next 10 years. Services, the innovation, the training that could be provided through the Oregon Renewable Energy Center, again, is going to be increasingly important, and we'd like to ask your consideration to, again, make that, just like all the other research centers in the state, and provide full funding. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, please, Isaac Williams, Patrick Collins, and C.J. Kindle. And then on deck will be Megan Bunn, Michaela Lindberg, and Tim Camp.
Good morning, Co-Chair, Senator Monroe, Representative Smith Warner. My name is Patrick Collins, and I'm a freshman at Eastern Oregon University. I'm on scholarship for the football team. I grew up in a small town in rural Eastern Oregon of Heppner. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's in the middle of nowhere. When I was looking at colleges to go to, my parents always said they were going to sell me to the highest bidder. And I think they were kidding, but it didn't end up that way. I ended up at Eastern Oregon University, and it's been a great fit for me. But without the Oregon Sports Lottery, I don't even know if college really would have been an option for me. My family has been really supportive of me, and they've been to every game. I played three sports through high school. They were at every game. They picked me up from practice every day. They're really supportive for me, and my goal for college was to make sure that they didn't have the burden of having to help me pay for that, and I didn't have to take out any loans that I had to pay back. And because of the Oregon Sports Lottery, I'm debt-free. I don't have to rely on my parents to get my education. It's just something that I've been able to do by myself. And it's a great feeling to know that with the Oregon Sports Lottery behind me, that I can succeed and it won't put me at a disadvantage later in life paying back student loans. At Eastern Oregon University, a couple of examples of the campus impact is that many rural, first-generation, and low-income students could not attend EOU without the sports lottery scholarships. This program also helps fund assistant coaches through the graduate assistant program, allowing EOU to work closely with rural, place-bound students who are not able to relocate but want to further their education in a graduate program. And Eastern Oregon University is a great place to do that. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is CJ Kendall. I'm a student athlete at Eastern Oregon University. I also came from Heppner, a small rural town. It was pretty great growing up in a place like that, but growing up, I never really knew what my future after high school looked like. I was focused on sports, and I always wanted to be involved in sports after high school, but I never was really sure that that opportunity was going to come, and so I always just thought, all right, I'm going to go to trade school and get working. And so this being on scholarship really opened the door for me to have a brighter future than what I always thought I was going to have. I'm now majoring in business administration and wanting to focus in accounting, and I think that's going to be really great for my future instead of just going and working the rest of my life, going back to the hometown, doing the same old thing that everyone thought I was going to do. Growing up in a small town, I had a lot of people say, oh, you're from a small town, you can't do that, you just need to come back home and work. And so having this Oregon Sports Lottery behind me is pretty great and is going to help me excel in my future. Thank you.
Good morning, Representative Smith Warner and Senator Monroe, co-chairs, and the rest of the committee. My name is Isaac Williams. I'm not from Heppner. that's okay. I'm actually going to tell the story that goes back to the middle 2000s when sports lottery began at Eastern Oregon in terms of relating to scholarships. And in that middle 2000 area, we recruited a young man from Arlington, Oregon, which might even be smaller than Heppner, I think. And that young man was, mother was a part-time worker at a golf course, and father was ill and oftentimes not able to be employed or retain his employment. He received an athletic scholarship, and largely due to this funding, to attend Eastern Oregon, and played for us those years while I was an assistant coach at Eastern Oregon. Those times for him, I think, were some of the best in his life, he would tell you. And subsequently received his bachelor's degree and master's degree from Eastern Oregon University. After going back with his degree, he actually received a job teaching and coaching basketball at Heppner High School. And these two young men were taught and coached by Jeremy Rosenbaum, who is the basketball coach there, who was one of the people, you can see it come full circle. So that opportunity for him and the funding that he received allowed him to not only better his life and his family's life, but you can see it here in front of you with these two well-spoken young men that are here this morning. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Okay, next up, Megan Bunn, Michaela Lindberg, and Tim Camp. And then on deck will be Nick Mazick, Mike Doak, and Shelley Johnson.
Good morning. My name is Megan Bunn, representing Eastern Oregon University as a full-time student athlete. I came from a small town near Northwest Portland called Banks, where many students participated in extracurricular activities, including sports. I grew up playing sports with friends and family, as it's always been a passion that I've treasured. Volleyball has taught me how to step out of my comfort zone, meet new people, make connections, and strive to be the best I can be on the court and in the classroom. As a senior in high school, I knew I wanted to continue my volleyball career in college, but no idea how I could afford the tuition that came with it. With all the opportunities that came with scholarships, I was gracious enough to receive and accept an athletic scholarship from Eastern that gave me the boost I needed to continue my volleyball career and pursue my dreams to become a teacher. The aid from my scholarship has helped me tremendously in the path toward my academic goals and my passion for the game of volleyball. This opportunity gave hope to a student athlete like myself that hard work does pay off, and I couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity to live the dream as a collegiate athlete thanks to the help of the Oregon Sports Lottery. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Michaela Lindberg, and I'm a senior volleyball player at Eastern Oregon. I was born and raised in Prineville, and I'll be the first person in my family to earn a college degree. The day that head volleyball coach Kaki McLean offered me a scholarship to play at Eastern was the day that my journey truly began. I've only been a part of this program for a short 8 months, and in that time I found clarity, confidence, and motivation. For the first time in my life, I know exactly what I want to do after school. I know my strengths, I know my purpose, and I know my worth. I feel obligated to provide a voice for future student athletes who deserve the same opportunities I was blessed with, who deserve to understand their value just as I did. A student's worth is not a number, it's their purpose, and each and every person in the pursuit of their academic, athletic purpose deserves to do so relentlessly, without fear, for their community, their university, their family, and most importantly, themselves. Scholarships changed my life and shaped me into the person you see today. I was a young woman from a tiny town that no one knows about and was told that an athletic scholarship wasn't possible to obtain. I had no idea what my purpose was or where I wanted to be after school, but I will now proudly walk across the stage in June, debt-free, and receive the first college degree in my family. I plan to coach volleyball myself after graduation, where I, too, can hopefully provide the opportunities for others the same way I was. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Tim Camp. I'm the head football coach at Eastern Oregon University, and I had the privilege to drive these fine student athletes down here last night. Just to be able to hear them in the van talk about the impact that the scholarships and the money that has been given by the state of Oregon has impacted their lives gives me a chance to get into Heppner, Oregon, and recruit a fine, you know, these two guys over there to get into Pendleton, Oregon. And, you know, I've been at six different universities coaching the silly game of football, but at the same time being at Eastern Oregon University and trying to change and impact the state of Oregon through athletics. But to be able to have 110 guys on the team, that they're not all on athletic scholarships, but I want you to know how much it does help to be able to go into the rooms of these families and be able to say, hey, this is going to help you. We're going to graduate your young man. We're going to try and make him a better person. And we're very blessed to be at Eastern Oregon University up in La Grande. And but to see him grow as young men, I think, is the biggest thing that we can continue to do. I'm an Oregon State guy. Again, being at six different universities, I understand what these kids go through each and every day, and I think that, you know, they're better for the struggles. They're going to have to pay some money, but at the same time, any help that you guys can give Eastern Oregon Universities and the other university system schools would be greatly appreciated, because it does make a big impact in these student-athletes' lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for being here. Okay. Next, please, Nick Mazick, Mike Doak, and Shelley Johnson. And then on deck, Jeremy Moore, Caleb Tingstad, and Shelley Lindsay, or Shaylee.
Go ahead. Good morning, Senator Monroe and Co-Chair Smith-Warner. My name is Nick Mask. I'm a student at Eastern Oregon University. I'm studying molecular biology and chemistry. I come from a pretty small town, too, La Grande. It's where the university is held. Growing up, I lived with my mother, just two of us. When I was 12, we fell into some financial trouble. We went bankrupt around then, and for 2 years, I lived off welfare and food stamps, things like that. When I was 14, she passed, so I moved in with my grandparents in Baker. So that was a big transition for me, having to grow up like that. They taught me hard work pretty quickly. I got a part-time job in high school, and in the summers I worked full-time, sometimes over 60 hours a week. And really, college, like a lot of people saying, didn't look like a big, you know, outlook for me. I didn't know if I was going to be able to attend. I like to run. I'm on the cross-country team and track and field, and I just didn't know if that was going to take me, because I didn't have a whole lot of money. The sports lottery funding that it does for these schools, it's such a big impact. I know a lot of people say, oh, it helps me so I don't have to pay off these student loans and things. But I think what it really does is it eliminates that barrier a lot of students have in the beginning just to get to college. That was a big thing for me. I didn't get a huge full ride scholarship, you know, going into college, but what they did give was enough for me to, you know, get my feet into the building and, you know, get my degree. I'm a senior now. I'm going to graduate. I'm moving on to get my master's degree in education there. It's been a great opportunity to even attend. College was the best thing that ever happened to me, getting to higher my education that way. And I know that it's not just me. There are thousands of other students who are getting impacted by the sports lottery fund that needed it way more than I did. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. And maybe you can go back and teach future Bulldogs.
Oh, absolutely.
Good morning, committee members. My name is Mike Doak. I'm the executive director with the Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers up in Hood River, Wasco County. So as you folks from the Grand drive home, make sure you notice the tree fruit blossoms are about to explode right now. It's beautiful up there. I'm here to share with you what our organization does with Oregon State University statewide programs. We are actually partners with you, and we're concerned that partnership may be threatened. Our organization represents 440 pear, cherry, apple growers, the significant economic sector of the Columbia Gorge economy. A major partner of ours is the Mid-Columbia Experiment Station. The acronym for that is called McCarrick, so I want to just call it McCarrick. McCarrick is a research agriculture center and an extension office, and in the last 2 years of our five staff members who are professional research scientists who do research on pear rootstock, cherry issues, pests, that sort of thing to help our industry, four of five staff there, positions there are vacated now. There's been a lot of turnover, and we're concerned with the governor's budget being frozen at the current level that there won't be funding to restore those positions, which are critical to our industry. We want to let you know that our budget is just over $420,000 a year, which may seem small, but that's all voluntary assessments from our growers. More than a third of that money is dedicated back to Oregon State University's research programs. So I want to clarify that we are partners with you. We have money to bring to the table to move that partnership forward. We're asking you to restore $9.4 million to the Oregon State University statewide programs. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Shelley Johnson. Good morning, Co-Chair Senator Monroe and Representative Smith Warner. I currently live in Colton, Oregon, in Clackamas County. I'm a student from the Oregon Institute of Technology, and I'm also representing the student government. I'm a non-traditional student. I returned after 17 years to complete my degree in geomatics and surveying and with a minor in business. I would not have been able to do this without scholarships and be able to complete my goal of an education completion without student loans. State funding has been very important as well as scholarships. I needed to return to the workforce because I wanted more career choices, I wanted to earn more money, and be able to be an inspiration at the time to my teenage children. My daughter is currently in the Marine Corps, located in Hawaii, and is furthering her education as she continues and knows that this is an opportunity and very important. She will be deployed into Darwin, Australia, so the opportunities for her will be astronomical. Very proud of her. Furthering my education has been an inspiration to her. I have had the opportunity of making many contacts returning to school, and I want to contribute back to the state. I'm asking for your support to ensure success for future Oregon students as well as myself in prioritizing the investment of at least $100 million more in the governor's budget revenue. The investment you make will help to stabilize the tuition and help future Oregonians access high-demand jobs. You are key decisionary makers in determining the future of our higher education by impacting the state's economy. I really, really appreciate all your help and hope that you can continue to have these opportunities available. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, Jeremy Moore, Caleb Tingstad, and Shaylee Lindsay, please. And then on deck, Shay Nelson, Blake Rowe, and Peggy Hawkins, please.
Good
Good morning, chairs, co-chairs Monroe and Smith Warner, members of the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I am a student athlete at Western Oregon University. I am here today to urge your support for the budget requests of the public universities and especially the Sports Action Lottery funding. As you know, the lottery funding helps student athletes be able to afford college. Without your help to ensure that the public university receives Sports Action Lottery funds and the requested $100 million in additional support, it is very possible that students like myself will not be able to attend public universities in Oregon or will be forced to drop out. I graduated from Tiger High School and decided to attend WU because many of my coaches and teachers graduated from Western and told me good things about it. WU was also the only school that offered me an athletic scholarship, and without this financial aid, I would have not been able to afford a four-year college. I played football at Western Oregon and competed on the track team. Last year, I was All-GNAC in the shot put, and this year, I earned Defensive Lineman of the Year and first-team All-GNAC for football. But the accomplishment I am most proud of is that I graduated this term from Western Oregon University with an interdisciplinary studies degree with my focus areas of health, physical education, and social science. As you can see, the investment from the state made it possible for me to attend Western Oregon University and participate in NCAA sports. Without your support, my dream of playing college football and earning a college degree may not have came true. I ask that you please continue to fund the Public University Support Fund at $765 million and the Sports Action Lottery so that student athletes such as myself can make our dreams come true. Thank you.
Thank you.
Co-chairs Monroe and Smith Warner and members of the subcommittee, my name is Caleb Tinkstad, and I'm a student athlete at Western Oregon. I'm also here today to urge your support for the budget request of the public universities, and more specifically, the Sports Action Lottery funding. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I also play football at Western Oregon, along with majoring in economics. I chose Western Oregon because of the unique opportunity it gave me to succeed in athletics while providing me an outstanding yet affordable education. I also receive an athletic scholarship to play football, and this was one of the big reasons why I chose Western Oregon University, along with the knowledge that I would receive an outstanding education. While at Western, I've formed many relationships with coaches and professors that I know I'll maintain for a lifetime, and I've also been able to form networks that will help me in achieving my goals of attending law school and eventually becoming a lawyer. Also, while being at Western, I've been given the opportunity to serve our university on the Incidental Fee Committee, which is a group of 9 students who discuss and decide where student fees are distributed throughout the university. And during my time on this committee, over the last 2 years, it's become so clear to me that there are many students like myself who are in need of financial assistance. One of the main concerns we hear every year is the need for more affordable education, and this makes the committee's job continually harder, as I'm sure you all know, as we attempt to balance the consistent rise of costs along with the burden that students have to bear. Without your support and investment, a lot of these things that these students, including myself, a lot of these dreams that these people have may not necessarily come true, and I'm very thankful. And I would ask that you please prioritize the lives and dreams of Oregon students like myself and ensure that Sports Action Lottery funding is fully funded. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Shaylee Lindsay, and I'm from small town Pendleton, Oregon. I knew that I wanted to go to college after high school, but I didn't know if it was possible without financial aid and scholarship. I started out at a community college, Mount Hood Community College, actually, and after completing my 2 years there, I was lucky enough to receive athletic scholarship at Portland State University. I'm part of the softball program there. I probably should have started with that, but I would not have had the opportunity to finish my 4 years without scholarship. And I know that my senior year is coming to an end now, and so this won't affect me as much in the future, but I want to support the next generations after me
and help them receive the same help in pursuing their dreams that I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. Next, Shay Nelson, Peggy Hawkins, and Blake Rowe. And then on deck, we'll have Jose Payden, Christian Mello, and Brett Morgan. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Shay Nelson, and I go to Portland State University. I'm a softball player there as well. And I'm going to share my story with you guys. I first started actually at Oregon State University as a walk-on athlete there. And shortly after that, I was a walk-on at Portland State. And so that really motivated me more than anything to work hard and eventually receive a scholarship. So after my freshman year, I received my scholarship, and that meant so much to me after being a student athlete, not receiving any aid at all. Now, as a senior, that has helped my family and given back to them what they've given to me my entire career. Also, a few weeks ago, I accepted a graduate assistant position next year at James Madison University, where I'll work in athletic compliance as well as pursue my master's degree in sports rec and management. So that I know would not have been possible without help with undergraduate funding in sports at Portland State University. So I am so happy and grateful for the help that I've got from the sports lottery program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Co-chairs Monroe, Smith, Warner, and committee, good morning. My name is Peggy Hawkins, and I am from Wilsonville. I am a healthcare informatics major, entering my senior year in this fall at Oregon Tech. I currently work as communications officer at Oregon Tech and serve on the ASOIT board. I was a displaced worker in 2012, laid off in an industry that was restructuring. And I found that it was very difficult to get another job in the healthcare industry without a degree. So I started college, and when unemployment ran out, I had to sell most of my possessions. I had to sell my car, move from my home. But that was not the most difficult thing. It wasn't a hardship because I knew I was working towards a better future. And I now live in a one-bedroom apartment with just a few things, and I do have reliable transportation. But I must use student loans, grants, and scholarships to stay in my education. In addition, I need help from my 92-year-old mother and my sister so that I can pay my rent and have a reliable car. The effects of rising tuition and lowered grant funding will threaten my ability to finish my degree and increase the burden on my family. I plan to work in the health informatics industry. Our country faces several challenges and possible changes to our healthcare system. Providing the best healthcare, protecting patient safety, and improving public health are my priorities. I'm asking you to prioritize an investment of at least $100 million more to the governor's budget request. Without a degree, I would have to start looking for a job and the added burden of needing to repay loans and not realize my full potential and contribute to Oregon's growing technology industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Blake Rowe. I'm the CEO for the Oregon Wheat Growers League. The league's proud to represent nearly 2,000 farms across Oregon that produce wheat, one of our state's largest crops. Our growers both depend on and faithfully support the work that is done by the OSU statewide public service programs, especially the Ag Experiment Stations and the Extension Service. Our growers strongly support our stations and extension staff. Except for a small increase in funding for the statewides 2 years ago, extension staffing, research funding, and facility support have steadily declined for 15 plus years. Wheat growers, along with many others, have stepped up to partially offset these declines and provide funding so extension scientists have research assistance, stations have fuel for tractors and fertilizer for research plots, and the facilities get minimum maintenance. We raised our wheat assessment 60% in 2008, with much of the increase going to research and statewides. We've helped slow the decline, but we just can't do enough, especially with wheat prices at multi-decade lows and most of our growers struggling to break even. Over the last 5 years, we've supported wheat research and facilities at OSU with nearly $5 million grower dollars. Nearly 30% of these dollars have gone directly to support ag experiment stations and staff, with the rest going to fund research projects. Roughly 67% of Oregon's wheat production is from varieties developed at OSU, and 100% of our growers do their work better because of the work done through extension and the ag experiment stations. The statewides are as critical to our growers as any other form of Oregon infrastructure. When our growers have crop problems or questions about what they're seeing in their fields, they turn to their local extension agents and extension scientists. 2 years ago, the state made a long overdue investment. We hope you won't reverse that by following the governor's budget, and that you will restore continuing service level to the statewides by supporting SB 5524. Thank you.
Thank you all. Okay, next, Jose Payton, Christian Mello, and Brett Morgan. And then on deck, Greg Monahan, Shea Hayes, and Quinn Haga. And we are getting down, so any ability to shorten would be great. And at the same time, you still all have 2 minutes. But we are going to be challenged to get through. We have about a dozen or more folks still on deck to testify. So go ahead.
Good morning, co-chairs Monroe, Warner, Smith, Warner, and members of the committee. My name is Jose Padin. I'm a professor at Portland State University, where I have taught for over 20 years. I'm also president of the Oregon State Conference for the American Association of University Professors. Thank you for your service to the state of Oregon and for the opportunity to speak to you today. On behalf of the more than 1,300 members of the American Association of University Professors in our state, I'm here to ask that you please support Oregon's future by securing more robust funding for our higher education system. The current funding level in SB 5524 falls roughly $275 million short of what the Higher Education Coordinating Commission requested to move our state, albeit gradually, towards its 40-40-20 goals. The HEC's request of $943 million constitutes a prudent long-term investment in Oregon's future. SB 5524 also falls $100 million short of what Oregon public universities need to maintain current services levels with tuition increases, which research shows will take a toll on college completion rates. 40-40-20 is our state's strategic vision, yet a HEC study found that among Oregon high school graduates, only 22% ever complete college. 22%, that's about 10 percentage points lower than the national average. That's how far we have to go for 40-40-20. The emergency request of $100 million from the universities can only maintain the status quo, which is very discouraging for those of us committed to 40-40-20. It is urgent we approve a higher education budget that is closer to the HEC's request if we are to make any progress towards state goals. We know this will not be easy, but it is imperative, and we ask that you do the best to get us there. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Co-chairs Monroe and Smith Warner, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christian Mello. I'm a senior at Oregon State University and also a member of the Oregon Student Association. I'm here to talk to you about funding for universities. Originally, I actually grew up in Colorado Springs, Colorado, raised by a single mom, and I'm the oldest of six kids. So everybody's kind of looking to me for being the successful one. That said, I didn't end up graduating high school. So around 2008, I decided to move out here, become a citizen of Oregon, and I've loved it here ever since. I went to Lane Community College. It's where I got my GED, and also because I really didn't know what I was doing at the time, so it seemed like a logical place to start. But as a non-traditional college student, I was pretty quickly overwhelmed with my experience, and that bad time I had in high school ended up translating to a bad time in college with the lack of family support I had. And eventually, I lost financial aid and was priced out of my community college. I worked for 2 years as a live-in nanny to get back on my feet. But then when I was able to get financial aid again at Oregon State University, I was getting the same level of support for nearly three times the amount of tuition I had to pay. I'll just try to keep this brief. What we're asking is we need you to fund universities at $765 million and the Oregon Opportunity Grant at $155 million. As a person who has both of these grants, and thank you for your time.
Members of the committee, Senator Monroe and Representative Smith-Warner, also here to testify about the need for higher education funding. My name is Brett Morgan. I'm the Associated Students of Oregon State University Vice President, the student member of the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University, and a proud member of the Oregon Student Association. I've been involved in student government and advocacy since my freshman year, and I've had the opportunity to testify before many of you several times. And in the past, I've told you again and again and again the need for higher education funding, like Christian's story, my friend's stories, and many other stories that have been told to you as well. Year in and year out, students come before you telling you about their struggles and the struggles finding for ways to pay for higher education. And yet you refuse, despite the fact that you refuse to fund higher education, despite the fact that the state funded your education or some of your educations not too long ago. There's an old saying in public policy that I'm sure many of you have heard before, and that is public policy is about choosing winners and losers. For nearly the last 20 years, the Oregon legislature has chosen for students to be the losers and for the Oregon public universities to be losers. Your choice to not fully fund higher education means that students are faced with further financial difficulties, while academic departments face really hard choices about what they're going to do with their programs and initiatives in the future. As a graduating senior, I'm fearful for Oregon State University and other institutions across the state, not for the decisions the institutions are making themselves, but rather the results that they are forced to make by the decisions you all are making yourselves. You have the power to change that, and I advocate that you use education as a great equalizer, and I hope you make the right choice to fund universities at the full $765 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next up, Greg Monahan, Shay Hayes, and Quinn Haga, and then on deck, Laura Tierney, Lupe Partidou, and Summer Noller, I believe.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Smith-Warner, and members of the committee, I'm Greg Monahan, Vice President of Association of Oregon Faculties. Anyone who says history doesn't repeat itself hasn't been around Oregon politics longer than a couple of minutes. Three steps forward, two steps back, two steps forward, three steps back. That's been the pattern for the 30-plus years I've been watching the state try to support a quality system of higher education. We took a step forward the last biennium. We helped Oregon students, and in the process, we strengthened our economy because the state's economy is always linked to the extent it supports a system of public higher education. But that was then, this is now. This is one of those years when the choices are hard. It's easy to invest in higher education when the money's there, harder when we face one of Oregon's numerous budget crises. But this is when it really matters. The headwinds are strong. In order to stand against those headwinds, the state's universities need another $100 million. That's not chicken feed. But it will let us weather this difficult year and hang in there until a better one comes along. And that's what we are asking you to help us do. Not necessarily to move forward, just not to move backward. We need engineers, teachers, chemists, biologists, nurses, physicians, business managers, marketers, ranchers, farmers, forest managers versed in scientific agriculture, and yes, we need writers and historians, actors, musicians, and even a poet or two. Because all these professionals not only make our state what it is, they make it what it will become. So let's not make this one of those three steps back years that we've seen so often before in our beautiful state. Let's meet that headwind straight on. Give us the resources you so badly want to give us, and let us give you Oregon's future. Thank you.
Good morning, Education Subcommittee Chairs, Representative Smith-Warner, Senator Monroe, and members of the committee. My name is Shay Hawes. I live in Monmouth and work at Western Oregon University as an IT specialist. I'm here to testify on Senate Bill 5524, State Support for Higher Education in Oregon. Both of my parents graduated from Eastern Oregon State College in the 80s, and after serving in the Army, I used the GI Bill to follow in their footsteps and graduated from Eastern Oregon University in 2002. Since then, I've worked at both EOU and now WOU for a total of 14 years, and I'm a proud member of the SEIU Local 503. I'd like to share that Oregon needs a strong higher education system in order to remain competitive and grow its economy. Today, high costs make college prohibitive for many students. Most enrolled students are currently in debt. Even considering the GI Bill, I personally came away with about $20,000 in student loans. That was 15 years ago. Today, I would expect that amount to be much greater. Now the legislature is considering cuts that will lead to higher tuition and eliminate programs that help defray students' costs of living. If these cuts go through, fewer students will be able to afford higher education, and those who pay their own way will be financially crippled. Those of us at the SEIU believe that Oregon is ranked 50th, dead last, in corporate tax burden. By making corporations pay their fair share, we can generate the revenue we need to invest in higher education. Oregon's universities need $765 million. Community colleges need $636 million. The Oregon Opportunity Grant needs $155 million. This level of funding would ensure that higher education could continue to maintain current service levels without cutting programs or staff or significantly raising tuition. Economists agree that investing in education is among the best ways that a state can improve its economic outlook. As I am in the field, I know that Oregon's tech industry has signaled its willingness to work with legislators to raise revenue, knowing that a well-educated workforce is critical to the industry's success in Oregon. I hope you and your colleagues will take them up on this offer and find the revenue to fund not only higher education, but the many services that Oregonians need and deserve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, co-chairs Representative Smith Warner and Senator Monroe. My name is Quinn Haga, and I'm the student body president at the University of Oregon, and I'm also a member of the Oregon Student Association. I wish more students were able to join us this morning, but getting to Salem early on a Monday morning is very difficult for many of them. As I'm sure you all are aware, the University of Oregon Board of Trustees approved a 10.86% increase for in-state tuition and a 3.5% increase for out-of-state tuition. This equates to just over $1,000 for both in-state and out-of-state students. No one on our campus wanted to see this kind of increase, especially the students who will be most severely impacted by this enormous increase in the years to come. The U of O is facing over $25 million in additional cost drivers over the next year. The majority of these costs are coming from PERS and healthcare expenses since the transition of responsibility from the state occurred. I know many students on our campus, many Oregonians, who will no longer be able to attend the U of O due to these steep increases. They have reached their debt capacities and simply cannot afford to and are incapable to take out any more loans. Personally, I am lucky enough to have received multiple scholarships to help me relieve my and my family's debt burden. But without those scholarships, I would likely not have been able to attend the University of Oregon. I knew that this would be the reality for me, so I made sure to work hard during school, during high school, and throughout college in order to qualify for those scholarships. But with the ever-increasing competitive nature of higher education, it becomes more and more competitive to qualify for scholarships each year, and it's not a luxury that every student has access to. On top of this, I also have accumulated thousands of dollars of debt. Since I do serve as the ASUO student body president, I do not have time during the school year to also hold another job. So like many other students and student leaders, I have to balance my budget and work over the summers and winter breaks in order to save for the rest of the school year. Over the past few decades, we have seen the disappointing disinvestment from higher education by the Oregon State Legislature. This has forced Oregonian students and their families to bear the burden of enormous tuition increases like the ones we are looking at today. I'm sure we can all agree that this model is not sustainable. People who go on to earn four-year degrees are more likely to be... Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks, all of you. Who's next?
The next panel is Laura Tierney, Lupe Partula, if I got that wrong, I'm sorry, and Sumner Noller, and on board is Silvino Braderama, Randy Linden, potentially, and Lila Forbes.
And that will probably be it.
Hello, committee members. My name is Lupe Partida, and I am a student at the University of Oregon, and I am with the Oregon Student Association. I am from White City, Oregon. I am here to urge you to fund public universities at a level of $765 million. I am a first-generation college student, and I rely on need-based aid to go to school because my family lives below the poverty line and is not able to pay for my further education. My need-based aid has not been enough to cover my tuition and cost of living to attend the University of Oregon. Therefore, I have had the misfortunate experience of having to take out loans when I already come from a very underprivileged social economic status. At this point, with the current rate of the cost of attending school, I believe I will be at least $15,000 in debt by the time I finish my undergraduate degree. This will not be the end of my education expenses. It has been my goal to attend the University of Oregon since I was 12 years old, and that is when I started my first college savings account with a program called College Dreams. I am currently majoring in in Family and Human Services and Spanish to be able to contribute to my community by providing accessible resources for youth who have many at-risk factors such as facing drug addiction, gang involvement, incarceration, poverty, and homelessness. I want to help these at-risk youth to provide services that they deserve as a human right. Obtaining a degree from the University of Oregon means to go into career of public services, not to only liberate myself, but to help others reach their full potential through further education. Higher education is a way to break the poverty cycle for Oregon families. If we take this away from low-income students by making a further education unachievable, it will hurt the minorities in this state. Students expect you all, as decision makers, to have students' backs and to keep tuition at an affordable amount. If we don't get this level of $765 for public universities, it will increase my tuition rate by 10.6%, and this is not okay because a first-generation student, second-year student who has a 3.5 GPA should not be able to have to worry about this.
Good morning, committee chairs, Representative Smith-Warden, Senator Monroe, and members of the Education Subcommittee. I am here to testify on Bill 5524, State Support for Higher Education in Oregon. My name is Laura Tierney. I live in Salem, and I work at Western Oregon University as an accountant in the Facilities Department. I am a member of SEIU Local 503, which represents about 4,500 classified employees at the seven public universities. We keep the institutions running to successfully sustain and educate our students. SEIU also represents 55,000 members across the state, middle and lower income Oregonians. These members are finding their children and grandchildren either being priced out of college or going deeply into debt to afford a post-secondary education. I was one of those parents helping out with my child's loans. At WU, I oversee budgets, including new construction budgets with bond funding. I am an inactive CPA and previously worked for a privately owned Fortune 500 company. I prepared multi-state corporate income tax and franchise tax returns and saw that Oregon does not tax corporations on sales or income to the extent surrounding states do. It troubles me to see important revenue opportunities missed when many education and service needs are going unmet here in Oregon. And that includes the impact on my employer, WU. Lastly, union records show that 20% of our staff, one in five university classified employees statewide, earns less than $15 an hour. At full-time employment, that qualifies them for food stamp eligibility for a family of four. This is a little secret that should be unacceptable to all of us, and in an issue we hope that can be resolved in this biennial budget. So yes, we want to get the $765 million state university support threshold that others are talking about, but we also want to strongly suggest that the only way we see getting there is to raise the revenue needed from large corporations.
Thank you. And then, hi, I'm not Summer, but Summer is a student at the University of Oregon who wasn't able to make it, so I was hoping I could just fill his place. Is that all right? Okay. Hi, everyone. Co-Chair Smith-Warner, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. I was actually here on Wednesday speaking in front of you all with the university's first day of budget presentations. But again, my name is Natalie Fisher. I am from Bend, Oregon. I'm a senior at the University of Oregon, double majoring in political science and sociology, minoring in Spanish. I'm the ASUO External Vice President, and I'm a member of the Oregon Student Association. So thank you all so much for having us here today. But I'm sitting in front of you again to talk about a request that equates to less than half of a percent of the state's budget that would assist in keeping college affordable for Oregon students. This year, I had the opportunity to sit on the University of Oregon's Tuition Fee and Advisory Board, and the board that decided the 10.86% increase for tuition and fees for in-state students. While it was a very difficult decision for TFAB to make, we decided collectively that the university could not afford to take more than $8.9 million in cuts next year, as with that number alone, we'll be losing hundreds of faculty members and staff members. Instead of cutting even deeper, we decided to look to the state, because while the state faces an incredibly difficult situation financially, for us, this is not about balancing a budget, but it is about the rest of our lives. As students, we are constantly asked to pay more for less, and this trend seems to be spiraling. In many conversations with legislators, I hear the same responses to my pleas for increased higher education funding as if on a loop, stating they would love to fund higher education, but the state just doesn't have the money. I personally think this is ridiculous, and if the legislature truly believed in funding higher education or any of the other services direly needed in the state of Oregon, then you would make it happen through a serious revenue bill. But it's up to you all to work across the aisle and figure this out, refusing to let the partisan tides of Washington, D.C. or the interest of corporations in Oregon determine your votes. We're asking you to allocate an additional $100 million in funding for the Public University Support Fund. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to call up the panel that we had said was on deck. Silvino Valderrama, Randy Lydum, and Lila Forbes. And also, I'd like to double check, is there anyone else who came from more than 100 miles who has not had the opportunity to testify? We got everybody who had marked it on their sheets. We're going to go ahead with these three, and then I think we are going to call it a day and check on when we can reschedule folks who had gotten signed up but hadn't been able to come, when we can schedule other future time for you all. So please go ahead.
Good morning, co-chairs Monroe and Smith-Warner and members of the committee. My name is Randy Lydum, and I am the director of NCAA compliance for athletics at Western Oregon University. I am here today to urge your support for the budget request of public universities and specifically the sports action lottery funding. As the manager of $405,000 of lottery funding that Western Oregon uses each year for athletic-based financial aid, I see the direct impact that this funding has on so many of our students' lives. I see the tremendous amount of debt many of our students are incurring so that they can pursue a college education while also competing in an NCAA sport. While WU is the only public NCAA Division II institution in Oregon, none of our student-athletes receive a full ride. In fact, most receive less than 50% of total cost of attendance each year. I know that every lottery dollar used for athletic scholarships means less debt for a future graduate. It also means that our student-athletes have less pressure to take on outside jobs during college and more time to focus on their academic and athletic pursuits, which in turn reflects positively on our institution and our state. In addition, part of my responsibility as Director of Compliance is to make sure that our athletic department maintains appropriate distribution of athletic funding amongst our male and female sports. If we were to lose the Sports Action Lottery funding for athletic scholarships, this could put our institution in jeopardy of not meeting our Title IX requirements and NCAA minimum levels for aid for athletics. I ask that you please fund both the Public University Support Fund of $765 million and the Oregon Sports Lottery. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Silvino Valderrama, and I'm an undergraduate student at Oregon State University and a member of Oregon Student Association. I'm here to talk about funding for universities and how tuition increase has affected me in the last 3 years. I'm studying nuclear engineering in Oregon State University, and I decided to study here because nuclear engineering is not offered anywhere. In my freshman year, I got a scholarship, and I was able to pay for most of my expenses. But after my freshman year, I had to get one job and eventually two jobs. Last year, I had three jobs, and still I wasn't able to pay my whole tuition. International students, I'm from Mexico, international students don't have access to financial aid or any kind of like loans or those kind of things. And if we want to request a loan, we need a cosigner, which is impossible for us because we don't know anyone in here. I personally, last year I had three jobs. I just couldn't pay. It was too much just having three jobs. So I had to quit two of them. This year I work for student government, and I'm in my senior year, and I have one class. I was supposed to graduate this term, but because I don't have money, I'm looking for a second job, and I will have to extend my studies one more term. I didn't have money for my rent, so I have to ask for my housemates, and because I was sent to the hospital at the beginning of last term. Basically, I don't have money to pay for my hospital bills, and because of that, I cannot pay for my tuition, and because of that, I cannot register for next term. We need you to fund universities at $765 million and the Oregon Oregon Opportunity Grant at $155 million.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Co-Chairs Monroe and Smith Warner. Committee members, thank you for hearing my testimony today. My name is Layla Forbes. I'm a senior at Portland State University, where I study political science. I was previously student body president at PSU, and currently I'm an intern for Representative Hernandez in House District 47. Today I'm here to talk to you about funding for universities. I was raised by a single mother in Grants Pass who made tarps during the day and worked at a corner store all night just to keep a roof over my head. Where I come from, college is a dream. And when I graduated high school, I decided to go for it. I worked full-time through community college and was able to fund myself mostly through there, got out with only $5,000 in student loan debt for community college for my associates, and then I transferred to Portland State University in the fall of 2015, and I'm now successfully $25,000 in student loan debt, with looking at another $10,000 for next year when I hopefully graduate. This is on top of me receiving full funding from the Pell Grant and Oregon Opportunity Grant. I am one of many, many students at Portland State University who uses the campus food pantry because I simply can't always afford to buy groceries. The amount of money that I'm investing in my education is hopefully going to turn into a job, maybe like one here that even your staff occupy currently. And hopefully the education I'm receiving is pretty good because I hope that y'all are getting that, that kind of quality return for what it's costing us. Being hungry and exhausted all the time shouldn't be normal, but it is when you're in college. And now, due to the low investment from the state and the high cost drivers, PSU's Board of Trustees just voted to raise our tuition by 9%. That's another $693 a year that I can't afford. I'm doing everything I can at this pace, and this increase could actually price me out of higher education and prevent that dream from becoming an actuality. The only way to keep students like me in school and continue to give us the opportunities to access these kind of careers is if the state reinvests in higher education. So we need you to fund universities at $765 million and the Oregon Opportunity Grant at $155 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. And thank you to everyone who testified. As I mentioned, we will kind of look at our schedule for the rest of the week and post our announcement tomorrow, when we can hear the remainder of the testifiers that were able to that were signed up for today. So with that, our hearing on 5524 is adjourned, and I'm going to close the committee hearing as well. Meeting. Whatever it's called. As well. Meeting. Whatever it's called.